if you don't mind, if everybody would stand up for just a minute. I promise you I'm going to let you sit for a while, so just stand up. Come on, everybody. Just try it, everybody, one time. It's Hillview. You always got to have some rebels. I ain't standing up. Because this is really going to be really tough, what y'all got to do here. I want you to find somebody, and I want you to hug them, and I want you to say, may the Lord bless you. Okay, would you do that? Okay, that's enough hugging. That's enough. All right, let's sit down. Y'all got that down. Okay. Now, you see, why in the world do you want us hugging on each other? All right, first thing, here's what I want you to realize. In the kingdom of God, there's the body of Christ, and we're in this together. Okay, we're in this what?
Together.
It's about everybody. It's about the whole body of Christ, and so... You know, right now, how many of y'all realize it's rained a little bit? We got some rain going on. So, you know what? We may have to help on that. That rain's getting pretty bad. I don't want to bust on Chris Allen, but I will. And, you know, Chris is doing a good job right now. He's keeping us out of emergency. Chris is a faithful member here at Hillview. Chris, all month long, has been going, we have a deficit, we have a deficit, we have a deficit, we have a deficit. I want you to know that God has cured the deficit in 2 days. So you know. Yeah, we're up to water par. That's cool. I was excited about the rain. The lake is going to be at summer pool. See, it takes all this stuff working together. Now, what does it take? It takes you living in grace. It takes you living in grace. Now, I want to start there today. And if this is your first time at Hillview, and you've never been to Hillview, I mean, I don't want to get in your business, but I want to be very honest with you. I promise you, if you don't know Jesus, you're here today to be saved. There would be no other reason to be drugged through the rain and jet ski into church other than to be saved today, okay? So it's awesome. It's awesome. Now, because you have a relationship with Jesus, your whole nature has been changed. That's what I want you to understand. Every bit of wiring in you, once you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, guess what? God changed your wiring from slavery to freedom. Go with me to the 4th chapter, 8th verse of Galatians. That's where we are in Galatians. And we're going to have 3 chunks today, okay? It's 3 chunks of the message. First chunk, don't go back to slavery. Go ahead and say that to your neighbor. Don't go back. Can you remember that? Don't go what? Back. God is a forward movement, not a what type of movement? Backwards movement. Reverend Pugh, you were an offensive player. What is your, as an offensive player, long before you finished your career and begin to age like a fine wine? What's the job of offense? Move what? Forward. What's the job of your life? You're going to move forward. Now, a lot of y'all are young. You're full of sap and energy. And guess what? A lot of you in this room, you don't think you're ever going to get old. You stay in this room long enough and keep coming back one day, you'll be an old person in this room. I'm telling you. But as we age, we ought to move what? Now, here's where I get excited. Those in Christ. Now, those without Christ, I want you to see how direction is important. Okay, I believe Paul tells us to move heavenward. Now that sounds forward to me, doesn't it? Paul doesn't say and move roundabout. He says move in a direction of clarity, heavenward. How many of y'all realize this week we're closer to heaven than we were last week? Now see, I believe that ought to build energy in us. And we ought to say, wait a minute, God is coming through me. God is coming through me because the closer I get to heaven, I ought to realize, Clay, I ought to realize my destination more fervently. And then we stir it up together. Amen. We stir it up together. Now look at Galatians 4, verse 8. Galatians 4, verse what? 8. Paul is amazed. He said, why are you going back to things that enslave you? Just go ahead and ask your neighbor, why would you go back? I mean, just kind of do it like this here, you know. Why would you go back?
Come on, ask them. Come on, ask them. Fellas, why would you go back? Come on, ask your neighbor that. Ask them. I don't hear y'all asking. Y'all acting like it's raining outside. Hey, Leonard, talk. Lord have mercy, you never quiet. That's the first time I've ever heard you've been quiet in 40 years. Tell them what? Not what? Why would you go back? You ain't going to go back, are you? I ain't going back. You going back? I ain't going back. We don't move what? Backwards. Y'all got that? Let me break it down. No reverse in God's transmission. He doesn't have a reverse gear. He's got forward gear, heavenward gear. Now look, Paul's upset. I hate to tell y'all this. I hate to break some of y'all's bubble. Some of y'all got God and y'all think these Bible writers were just like Gumby, you know, and just everything was syrupy and set. Paul got ticked. And he said, here God has forgiven you of all your sins. He's given you a great, great, great moment. And you're trading it in for stuff that doesn't work? What? Look, formerly, when you did not know God or were known by God, what's the operating word there? Formerly, when you used to live without God, before you knew God, or literally before God knew you, you were slaves to those who by nature are not God's. Hold on. What are you a slave to right now that doesn't bless you? Let me tell you what enslaves you. Anything you got to do, you become a slave to. Now, some of y'all are sharp. I just heard your thoughts. You said, Pastor Ayers, I got to pay my taxes. That's correct. Because Jesus said, yield unto Caesar what is Caesar, what is God's unto God. That ain't going to get you out of that one. But what things in your life do you feel like you have to do that are not of God? Just run a check across there. Don't go back to what didn't bless you. Can I preach just a minute? How many of y'all are glad to have a God that wants to bless you? So God said, why would you go back to things that won't bless you? He goes on, he said, why are you confining yourself? Look, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Any of y'all got any weak and miserable principles in your life? How many of y'all got some weak thinking in your life? I just want to attack one of those as an example today. I cannot do that is a weak and miserable thought. How many of y'all surrender to the I cannot do that kind of concept? Now, watch, that's exactly right. Who said that? Who says? Yeah, when somebody says you can't do that, you need to respond with this question. What? Who says? Does God say I can't do that? Or does a little God, little g, claim that that's impossible? What does God say? All things. Come on. Somebody went to Bible study. What does God say? All things are possible. We need a church in America that believes all things are possible. And man, I'm hoping some of your next generation is going to stand up into the all things possible. We're not going to have a witness till we have a life. I do not believe in coincidence. Huh? So you get in the spirit, you know, tell them what happened. Now see, watch this. Watch, I'm going to show you how free we are. Right now, if you heard a giant sound that sounded like a freight train, I'm okay. But some of you aren't. I would not want a tornado hit this building. Because not all of us are going to the same place. Yet. However, if I do hear that sound, I will immediately go to altar call. Because nothing else is going to what? Matter. Now you got it. Don't go back to what confines you. I want you to know this principle. God releases you. Slavery confines you. God did not make you a slave. That is a running theme. That is a running theme. That is a running what? Theme in the book of Galatians. You know why? We tend to go that direction. We tend to enslave ourselves to miserable thinking. I cannot do that is a miserable thought. Get rid of miserable thinking. Don't go back there. Amen? You've been freed in Christ. You've been freed in Christ.
Now, Hillview, guess what? We're on the verge of stepping on in to the freedom of Christ. I've been sensing it. It's been going on here. God's disturbing and stimulating. Okay? And here's the way God moves with His people. He moves with His people when they activate what He's given them. That leads them into freedom and sonship and movement. Does that make sense? And guess what? Everybody is invited to be saved by God. And he goes on and tells us this. Look, he said, man, what are you doing? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you. Okay, don't go back to what didn't work. Have I made myself clear? Now, Reverend Chase, here's what they were doing. They'd come into the freedom of Christ, and then they went back and picked up the regulations of Judaism. Now, before we get too hard on it, how many of you have gone back and picked up the Baptist regulations or the Methodist regulations or the Catholic regulations or the Pentecostal regulations? I remember in seminary, they used to say, these professors would say, there were 613 laws of the Jews. Say, what do you think about that? I said, that's about half as there is in the Southern Baptist Convention. And they're all unwritten and they're all unspoken. How many of y'all went to a church like that? Don't break the what? Rules. Watch this, I'm going to blow you all away. You know when I read the Bible? I did not read the Bible for holy purposes. I read the Bible because my church got me mad. Madder than a firecracker. I grew up there, you know. Elizabeth grew up a little later than I did, but I grew up there, right there in, you know, the late 70s, 80s. Long hair was out a little bit, and I heard the church preach against long hair. And then we had some preachers, they'd get all upset if you wore your shorts. Y'all never even heard that, have you? I mean, people would take time in the pulpit. If you're wearing shorts out there in public, you are dead. I'm like, you know, if you got good-looking legs, wear shorts. If you got ugly legs, God wants them covered up. He'll give you some new ones later. God's got some sense. Be in the freedom of the Lord. Amen? That's not salvation. That's slavery. That's legalistic slavery. Now, and Elizabeth, I want to document this. Elizabeth, not Pastor Steve. Elizabeth came up with something great this week. And when she shared it with me, I said, man, I need that in my sermon. And she said, are you going to footnote me? No, Clacy asked me that. I said, I really shouldn't. Because I could just go ahead and take her advice, because when you get married, the two are one. So I figured you really don't have any footnoting properties there. But I'm going to footnote her. Elizabeth said this, and it was very powerful. She said, you know, you end up in slavery, okay? You end up away from what God wants when you try to put rules on God. It's just as negatively is not following the rules of God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? How many of y'all put rules on God? I mean, I heard that all my life. All these people had these rules on God. I remember as a kid going to the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm just a punk kid preacher. And I live at the Southern Baptist Convention. This old religious lady turned around and looked at me. And she goes, hey, sonny boy. And I thought, boy, this is a joyous place. I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, do you believe women can preach? I said, I ain't met one yet that doesn't. She goes, well, what do you think? I said, we men don't naturally preach, so God had to give us some papers to do it. Y'all just wide open all the time. It's not male nor female. It's about following God. It's not about messing up life. It's about following God. It's about living in freedom. Don't go back and be slaved again. Amen. All right? There's a lot of y'all that have gotten clean off drugs and alcohol, man. I praise God for that. You know how you got clean? You got clean because you said, Jesus, take it away. Now, let me tell you what Jesus really did. He changed your thinking. You get clean when He changes your thinking. By the renewing of your mind. Bobby, I told you a story the other day. Bobby Baldwin got clean off drugs and alcohol. Bobby, I told him, I said, you know what Bobby did? He heard me use this illustration. Maybe some of y'all can relate. A few years back, and that's a long time ago now, about 15 years back, I was preaching over in a chapel, and I said, let me tell you what, guys, if you really want to understand the freedom of God, you got to snort the Word of God.
Now guess what Bobby said? Bobby said, and then I went on the second rant. I said, if you really want to understand God's truth, roll it up and smoke it. Get it in you. Because Hillview wasn't like other churches. We had some people that realized through ingesting certain materials, it changes your view. Now hold on. The problem is, when you change your view with human substance, you always get human confinement. Now when you let God get deep inside of you and work you and change you and renew you, you start thinking like heaven. That's why Paul said, don't go back. Don't go back. You know what Bobby did at rehab? 13, I never forget it, because 13 and a half times through the Bible, cover to cover in 1 year. In the name of Jesus, never used again. Hold on, watch this. If you want a rehab program, I challenge you to read the Word of God cover to cover 13 times, 13 and a half times. Pastor Andrew, I'm going to tell you, there's pastors that hadn't done that in their whole career. Because they only read what they're going to preach. Because they only know a little bit. We hope they know enough to get you to heaven. They only know what they've been told to tell you. Instead of knowing what God's actually saying. Hear how I said that. Not just what He said, but what He's saying. Because God's still speaking. And you know what? That Word of God will get God speaking to you. And you know what? After you go through it 13 and a half times, I'd say one time through it, get it, right? Bobby just wanted to make sure that it stuck. You know how he did it? He figured how many hours a day he was high, which he's putting in a good 40 hours a week there on that. And so he took that time, and instead of being high, he read the Word of God, and God delivered him. Crazy. Now, be honest, Bobby, did you ever want to go back? There were urges to go back, wasn't there? Now watch. What happens is when you get the Word of God in you, now you understand it. When God goes to work in you, when you go back, want to turn and go back, God is pulling you forward. That's why there's tension. So anytime you come to the altar and you go, Pastor Steve, I've sinned and I feel real bad, I say, thank God. Because you ought to feel real bad because you're not in the location you're supposed to be. How many of y'all have ever gotten in the wrong place at the wrong time? How many of y'all feel uncomfortable when you're there? Good. Now you understand. Slavery doesn't belong to you, so you can't go back and get slave principles living as a free man. Now let's move on. Don't lose your joy. That's the second thing. Paul said, what's happened to you people? Now I'm going to tell you something. Young people, I want to give you a warning. I am so excited that the theology of grace is really being spoken about. But I'm so disappointed that we have so many people that can teach on grace and never live it. You know, we got a lot of people that talk about God sovereignly reaching down and saving people, but they exclude people and push people away because they won't follow their little set of principles. Now, here's what you find. If you don't live in the Spirit of God, you will be confined by the principles of man. And no matter who writes them, they're principles of man. Now, I'm going to come after some things. There are no 10 steps. There's one Lord. See the difference? God wants you to live with the utmost of potential. That's why Paul, man, he's got that big feather pen out going, what are you doing? Why are you going back to that that doesn't work? See what I'm saying, Gary Dale? Why? You know this doesn't work. Stay in following Christ. He said, I remember when you were joyful. He said, I remember when you welcomed me. Point two, we ought to welcome people as believers. Amen? We ought to welcome people as believers. Now, you better hold on. I'm telling you. There's some challenges coming. Amen? But we ought to live out our faith. I'm going to tell you what's going to change the world is those of us who believe and follow, living out our faith in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand who you are in Christ? We ought to welcome each other with joy. How many of y'all are glad to come to and be a part of a church that can welcome others in joy? You ought to be. You ought to praise God for that. Now hold on, I got to talk to you. Don't lose your joy. How many of y'all remember the first time God came into your life? Because there wasn't a second time. Boom, he changed you. Some of you are going, well, Pastor Steve, I've left God. How do you leave God? He created everything in every place. Where are you going to hide? Where are you going to hide? That's about as crazy as all these people walking around seeking God. They go, well, I'm seeking God. I said, I didn't know he's lost. I didn't know he'd been misplaced. Now, here's what I want to teach you. Y'all listen. I want you young people to learn this. I want you to learn this. As long as humanity is the center of your universe, you will live in slavery. Now let me break all that big word down to this. As long as you are number one, you will be confined. It's not about you. It's about the Spirit of God living through you. Not just in you, what? Through you. We got to be immersed in the joy of God. Look at Paul, he's so disappointed. He said, I plead with you, brothers. See, they were connected to Christ, brothers. They were part of the family, but they weren't living in the family way. How many of y'all have ever been part of the family, but not living in the family way? Y'all may find this hard to believe. But I didn't always live in my family's way. Now, I got a real holy mama and a real disciplined daddy. But I have some moments in my journey that were not real disciplined or real godly. And so guess what? I don't go back there because I want to rely on the grace of God to keep me out of there, which produces what? A great joy. Look at this. There's a great joy. He said, I plead with you, brothers, become like what? Become like me. I became like you. You've done no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God or as if I were Christ himself. You welcomed me. And then guess what he says? What has happened to your joy? Ask yourself that question. What has happened to your joy? Can I preach just a second? How many of y'all are glad to know that God has redeemed us in grace to live out the joy of heaven here on earth? God wants us to be full of joy. Where's that message? See, half of you get it. That's fine. I only need 12 and that'll change the whole world. And one of you can make an F because there was only 11 disciples that made the cut. And God got the gospel to the 21st century. You know what I love about God? He doesn't need democracy to do his work. What I love about God, he doesn't have a Congress, he doesn't have a House, he doesn't have a Senate, he doesn't have a Cabinet, he doesn't have a Czar. He's the King. And he can take a few faithful and change everything. He can take a Moses and take you across the sea. He can take an Abraham and establish his whole people. He can take a Rahab, a woman with a reputation, and use her for his glory. Come on. I got to preach a minute. He can take a Paul who was a Saul busting on the church and take that Saul and allow him to write the words I read today. Where is your joy? You really want to know why most people don't want have anything to do with Christianity? Some of the most miserable people I've met attend church on a regular basis. I'm on a mission. I've been on a mission for 20 years, been on it for 20 years. I think the greatest party in town ought to not be at 440 Main. It ought not to be in that little nightclub. It's not really a nightclub down there on Square. It ought to not be over at Deuces. The greatest party every weekend, I think, ought to be Hillview Heights Church. It ought to be the greatest party. You ought to come out there and go, wait a minute.
They're talking about living. They're talking about moving. They're talking about loving. They're talking about the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord. Elizabeth and I had the privilege Friday night with our family. We got to go to Alan Jackson concert. I like old Alan. He's cool. He sings about life. I think he sings some real holy songs. I really do. I like country music. I like it a lot better than Christian music because they're truthful. You know, they sing about more than mama, you know, falling off a train, getting drunk in prison. They sing more than that. They've kind of updated their versions now out of Nashville. But it's weird. We got to go backstage. We got to meet some folks. And then in the crowd, we were talking to some folks and we had some other members here at the church. And we went to this old man. And I was talking to these people. And this guy from my church said, "Man, that's our pastor." And he goes, "No way." I always get this. Everywhere I go. Chase, ever since I went to ministry, when people, they go, "What do you do as a pastor?" They go, "There's no way you can be a pastor." Now, Luke, you know why they say that? I have too good a time. And what do people expect pastors to be? Crabby. They expect pastors to go like this. They expect them to go like this. "Hello, my name is Reverend Ayers. God bless you." You know, I kick people like that out of my house, too. See, here's what's so exciting is that God never acted like that. Jesus never acted like that. What is so exciting is the only way that you could detect Jesus was the Son of God is by what he did, not how he looked. Because he did love you when you were left out. He did bring in what was cast out. He did place hope where there was no hope. He did give sight where there was no sight. He made legs move where legs couldn't move. He let you walk where you couldn't walk. He set the bound free. Only God can do all that. Where is your what? Joy. Paul said, "Where is your joy?" He said, "You love me so much that you would have torn your eyes out and given them to me. That's how much you loved me." Man, listen, I wish I could say we love people like that at Hillview, but we're not there yet. We're kind of like this. I'll tear one eye out as long as I still got one. But we are about this. Let's welcome people with great joy. Amen? I'm glad you're here today. If you don't know Jesus, guess what? I got one mission. I'm very pointed in my agenda. I have an agenda. I have an agenda every day I take a breath. Is that somebody that doesn't know Jesus might get to know Jesus. I have an agenda. I'm very upfront about my agenda. I say, "Pastor Ayers, what translation of the Bible should we read out of? One you can understand." They all say the same thing. You read the one you can understand. Who do I need to follow? Jesus. And don't lose your joy in doing so. Amen? Now be careful. Some of you have been in church long enough to fall in love with the church and miss the joy of Jesus. That's what these folks were doing. They were trying to regulate other people. Now here's what you need to know in the faith. What works for you is not important. That's not your testimony. It's who works in you. That's your testimony. It's not how Jesus does it. It's that Jesus what does it. Does that make sense? Let's read on. We're about done. You ready? Don't surrender to others. It's my last point today. Don't give your freedom to somebody else. Human principles fall short every time. How many of y'all old enough to find that to be true? I don't know a human being ever in life that's got it right. Y'all know any human beings that got it right? Somebody tell me a human being that's gotten everything right. Yes, and he was a God human being. Now tell me a pure human being that's gotten it all right. The reason you can't, it's okay, there's not one. So be careful surrendering your life over to them. Now here's what was going on. Here's what was going on. Had the Judaizers, here's where Paul warned them. Those people are zealous to win you over. Those what? How many of y'all got those people in your life? And what are they trying to tell you? If you just do this, this, and this, you're going to be, hold on, they're at church. They're at church. It's always been amazing to me at church. Our pastors study. And they do.
It's been amazing to me. Only in the church can this happen. And somebody in the congregation who's never studied can tell them something, and they automatically believe that over what the pastor's told them because it's what they wanted to hear. You notice that? Well, so-and-so said. I said, where's that in the Bible? Well, they didn't tell me. But it's what I wanted to hear. And it's how I thought, so I automatically bought it. You can do what you want. I'm a man of freedom. I am a man of freedom. But I'm a lot freer than a lot of y'all think. But with my freedom comes you eat your own consequence. You eat your own consequence. See, freedom's a double-edged sword. You can live in the grace of God. But if you choose not to follow the ways of God, you'll live up in the confinement of those people. I'm just going to tell you. Anytime you choose to live to please somebody else, you'll end up in slavery. If I live to please Elizabeth, guess what happens? I can't please her. If she lives to please me, guess what happens? She can't do it. And our marriage becomes routine and slavery, and it loses its joy. See how this works in relationships? They're trying to win you over. Now, here's what I want you to know. You've been won, so you don't have to be won over. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. It's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to so always. It's good to be zealous always and not just when I'm with you, he says. And he goes on, look what he says. My dear children, from whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ has formed you, how I wish it could be with you now. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about what? You. What's Paul's heart to be with them? What's Paul's desire? That they'll be zealous for God and not this group that's trying to lead them out. Now hold on. How many of y'all have ever gotten with a group of believers and they thought they were a little bit special? Anytime you get with a group of believers and they think they're more special than the rest of the body of Christ, run out of that group. We're all in this together. And see, they will manipulate you and they'll control you. God does not control. God does what? He releases. He releases. Does that make sense? God releases. Satan controls. And I just ask in the name of Jesus that God will give you wisdom to know the difference between the two. You need to read history. Man, humans always want to be God. It's a complex we have. What did the Roman Caesars say they were? Anybody read any history? You university students have gone to school. Surely you had to take some basic history. What did the Roman Caesars claim themselves being? Gods! You be careful any time a leader thinks he's a god. Because as soon as a leader thinks he's a god, you're fixing to be a slave. Every time in history. Every time in history. Guess who people thought Hitler was in the beginning? A God. A Savior. Guess what he ended up being? A slave master. Extinguishing God's people. 6 million Jews. We need to go ahead and tell the rest of the story about the Holocaust too. I don't know why we don't talk about this one. Maybe it's because we don't have any groups and preachers that fend for us. 5 million Christians. So don't lose your joy. Don't go back into slavery. And be careful who you follow zealously.
because you've been won over by the grace of God and He is in you. Amen? So let me tell you, it's time to mix it all up. It's time to let God move through you, live in you, produce in you, live in the freedom of God, the power of God, the opportunity of God. You can't have God on the side. My wife, Elizabeth, she loves to order salad. She eats a lot of rabbit food. That's why she still looks good. I don't eat rabbit food. I don't like rice cakes. And if it tastes like cardboard, I don't want to eat it. Elizabeth said it's good for my health and I'll live 2 or 3 years longer. Well, I'd rather have a good meal and die early than eat that cardboard 3 years longer than I have to. I think a little different than her. I'd probably die a little earlier. Then I get to heaven, I get to eat a lot of good food, and then it's going to be really exciting. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look at Elizabeth and I'll say, when she gets up there, I'm going to say, listen, there ain't a rice cake in this place. You don't make one. They don't have them up here. There's none of those cardboard protein bars. They got steak and fine grape juice and all kinds of stuff up there. It's going to be great. You ready? It's going to be great. How many of y'all going? It's going to be great. Well, Elizabeth, because she eats healthy, she always orders these salads. And then she always does this. She'll go, I need my dressing on the side. Yeah, some of y'all, yeah, I know. Now, I don't need my dressing on the side. I want as much dressing, blue cheese dressing, as you can get in that salad. Pour it in there. And I chop mine up and put it all together. In fact, you know what my favorite salad is? Is that chopped blue cheese salad at Outback. They put grease and everything on it. And Elizabeth looked at me one day and she goes, that is not healthy. I said, I didn't get it because it was healthy. I got it because it tastes good. I said, I don't eat and go, is this healthy? I go, do I like this? But hold on. Illustration, purposes. How many of y'all got your Jesus on the side? Next time you're sitting around a salad with that salad dressing on the side, ask yourself, how many of y'all just, you just dip into Jesus when it's convenient for you. You know what I mean? You like stick your little finger over there, you know. Oh, there's some of my Christian friends. I have a little Jesus on the side. Oh, it's a Jesus. Yeah, I'm a little Jesus on me now. Or how many of you? Because when you get one of them blue cheese chopped salads, there ain't a leaf on that salad not touched. Buy blue cheese. That salad is saved. Now, y'all got this? Y'all never knew a salad could be so holy, did you? Look at this. Look at this. When the grace of God came to you, let me tell you what really happened. God immersed you. This is the words of Scripture. Immersed you with His grace. You know what that means? He touched every part of your life. And now guess what He's asking you to do? Live that out in the world. Now, I love you. We've got some people here from some different churches today, too, man. I love that. But there is no different church. You're in some other fellowships. There's one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're going to find that out one day. I'm going to laugh when I get to heaven. Because guess what everybody's going to find out? We've all been wrong. God's going to look at us and say, why were y'all? Oh, I know. You're listening to the little enemy. You ready? You listen to the enemy. That's what started all this. You know what the devil knows? If the church ever got unified, he's out of business. Be too much power. Can you imagine this whole county singing on one accord? Can you imagine every believer in one county praying at one time? Now listen, I want to tell you something, church. You have every right to pray and to talk about Jesus in this wonderful country. And I don't want you to listen. Listen, I know there's some National Day of Prayer controversy. Let me tell you what. Listen. I want y'all to be mature believers. Every day ought to be a National Day of Prayer. Okay? And I just want to let you know, I've been to D.C. more than once. There's not one scripture quoted from the Quran on those buildings. They come from the Old and the New Testament of those who followed Jesus Christ in Christianity. Now, that's our history. And even though we don't like our history and it doesn't fit into Kumbaya Day today, that's still our history. And here's what you need to realize. If we hadn't had those principles,
we'd have never got to this freedom. And here's what I hope you never will realize. As we rid ourselves of those principles, you will be welcomed into a new slavery. Be careful. We get to preach Jesus freely. We get to talk about Jesus. I don't have to worry about being arrested for preaching. Follow me. We better exercise our faith. Does that make sense? I'm not worried about where you stand politically. I'm tired of the church turning there. We got a deeper question. Where do you stand with Christ? Are you truly saved? Or you got little Jesus on the side? I don't believe in all these 10-step books. I went over there to the Christian Warehouse. You know, they sell all this propaganda. They had all these books. 10 steps to a better prayer life. Where do we get this stuff? Bible never talked like that. Bible said pray. Trust who? Jesus. So today let me tell you one step that'll work. If you a sinner today, you know you are outright caught, let me give you a good step. Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I've broken the 10 commandments. I need you in my life. How many of y'all are there today? I promise you, if you woke up this morning and just decided to come to church and ended up here today, right now is your moment. I'm going to tell you what, if you fought this flood to get to church today, God's really wanting you to be saved real bad. I mean, He's doing a Noah thing to you. He's putting you on the boat before He takes the rest of it out. How many of y'all need to make that first step today and say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I've broken your law. I really haven't done what you've asked me to do, and I'm very sorry for that. I want you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. Hold on. That'd be the first what? Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. Now watch this. And the second step would be realizing that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed and baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Which leads you to a step of obedience that says, wait a minute, I want people to know whose I am. And you end up in a baptistry. There's your second step. And then you start flowing with God. There's your third step. And then your fourth step is you really start understanding what God's saying to you. You realize who you are. And what happens eventually? You're running in the kingdom, baby. You're running in the kingdom. But it will not start till you let Him get started. It will not start till you let Him what? Get started. I had people tell me all the time, I said, you ready to be baptized? Well, Pastor Dave, I'm still doing some things. Really. I am too. You know what I found? When God starts growing the garden, He weeds it along the way. How many of y'all found that to be true? In fact, let me tell you what He told you and told me. Check this out, Jacqueline. I can't be in the weed business. Garrett, you can't be in the weed business. Now, you may be a young, upcoming youth minister, you know, wild man. You can't be in the weed business. Because guess what God said, Garrett? You're too stupid to know the difference between a wheat and a tare. Guess what He told me? He said, Ayers, you got fancy letters in front of your name that mean absolutely nothing to me. But let me tell you what. You're not smart enough to know the wheat and the tare. I am the gardener, and you are a branch. Only the gardener can take away weeds. You know what baptism says? Lord, start taking those weeds out. How many of y'all glad to know you got better as you've gone along? Yeah. There's so many of you that are stopping living this full and abundant free life with God because you're trying to be perfect before you get started. I have not met any perfect people. How many of y'all? Let's get honest. Let's get real. Let's get direct. Are perfect people baptized? Absolutely not. Forgiven people are. And they get better. Amen. All right, y'all ready? Fixing to have decision time. Now watch. There should be no other focus than God today. Where are you going? If you don't have a boat, there's nothing else to do this afternoon. Okay? We're in the middle of a flood. Let me ask you a question. This is a serious question I want to ask y'all. Did anybody hear the Lord telling them to build a boat, you know, a year or so ago and you weren't obedient? Chase, what if God had told you 5 years ago, instead of going to college, start building a boat because I'm going to flood the city of Bowling Green?
What would you have done? I'm going to be honest, probably if he's left up to me, we'd all be drowning today. Because I said, surely that wasn't the Lord. The Lord would never call me to do something ridiculous. Now, I know different. I've read the Bible. Everything in there is ridiculous. None of it's logical. It's not rational. It's not proper. Like the guy that spun the words we dealt with today said this, the cross and the resurrection will confine, confound, and confuse those who consider, I love the way the Bible speaks, those who consider themselves wise. So let's stand and live in God's freedom today. Amen. If you don't mind, would you stand? I want you to pray. There are people that are going to be saved today. Y'all focused in? It's altar time. It's one of the greatest times in worship. Now watch. Everybody focus in. In the name of Jesus, get hamburgers off your mind. Let's get all these demons out of here. I'm not going to mention any more food than that or you'll start thinking about it. Now watch this. How many of you, your hunger to know God is as strong as your physical hunger right now? That'll move the church. Amen. That'll get us to where we need to be. Now, there are going to be some people who receive Christ today. There are going to be some people that come for baptism today. There's going to be a happening today. And I want us to all pray for each other. Does that make sense? God, will you save the folks that need to be saved today? Only God can save them. You know, if it was the time of Noah, it probably felt like a little bit like this, you know? Noah had to build a boat to save the people. The people didn't believe God. And one day it started raining and it didn't stop. And all the people that laughed died. I mean, you can read the stats. There are a lot of people that don't buy into Jesus Christ today. But one day it's going to start raining just like it did then. And guess what? Guess what? Only those in Christ are going on. I can't save you. But I can tell you about a Savior who will. Now, there's some people in here today that need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me. And God will start that process. Some of you need to just let it go. Some of you need to be baptized. You haven't been baptized. You need to take care of that. I mean, y'all feel that in here? How many of y'all feel something moving right now? I mean, you feel, okay, cool, cool. Just keep it gentle. It's God's route today. Let God have His way. If you're a believer and you've started going backwards, well, then ask God, since He doesn't have a reverse, you can do a turnaround and head back, okay? He's just going to turn you around back in the right direction. You need to be guided. Let's just let God have His way. Spirit is released. God's truth is for real. Lord Jesus, there are many people here today, and you love every one of us. Some of us believe that, and some of us have a hard time believing that you would have anything to do with us, God. But you do. And so, Lord, right now, I just pray that your Spirit would be released in such a way that whoever is not repented of their sins right now is going to do that. Okay, listen, if you've never done this, this prayer just gets you started. Ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I am a sinner. I have broken your law. I have broken your standard. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I believe you died and I believe you've risen. I believe you're real. Come into my life. I promise you, Jesus, to do that. If you haven't been baptized, we need to be baptized. See, I don't buy this. Don't tell me you believe and then won't follow through. Come on, let's be honest. Y'all know I'm honest. What does that mean? You got your Jesus on the side. For some of you today, you need to get Jesus off the side. And you need to put Him in your life. Knowing about Jesus does not mean you are known by Jesus. To prove it, the devil knows all about Jesus more than you and I, but he is not known in a salvific way by God. Even the demons shudder and shake at the name of Jesus. But they're not known by Him. You are known by Him and can be known by Him. If you need to be baptized, come tell us so we can get that set up. Mother's Day is coming. I think it's next Sunday, isn't it? Now, some of you old renegades like me, your mama been down on her knees. She's wore a set of knees out. If you had a mama get a knee replacement, it's your fault. And she's wore a set of knees out praying that God would do a great work in your life. And now that it is, why don't you honor her if you hadn't been baptized? You say, Mama, I got a gift. If you got a godly mama, she's been praying you'd be saved. The best moment you could give her is in that baptism, saying, Mama, I got what Jesus was trying to tell me through you. That's the best gift you can give a mama, especially if you've been a renegade. Rest of you, some of you need to just get plugged back in. Some of you need to just let God touch you. But God's going to do something great right now. Some of you need to be healed. How many of y'all believe God will heal people? Not only do I believe God will heal people, I know God will heal people. You say, you mean with doctors and stuff? Hey, God's capable of even using a doctor. That's how powerful God is. I know people I went to school with that became medical doctors. Don't tell me there aren't miracles. I went to school with them. And I've seen God heal directly that straight. But you know what? I mean, I really want you to hear. Don't get all excited about healing. If you don't know Him as Savior and Lord, that healing's a temporary deal at best. Why would you want to be well and end up in hell? Grace, grace, God's what? Grace. Lord, this altar, as it opens and as your ministry flows, we ask now in the name of Jesus. Those who are being saved, those who you are drawing right now, may they come and grab a pastor's hand and say, Lord Jesus has saved me. Those who need to be baptized, you're going to come right now and be baptized. Those that need to be healed, you're going to be healed. Pastors, you feel the Holy Ghost coming? I want y'all to come on across the altar. Come on, pastors, we're going to split it this time. We're running a double split. All right? We're going deuces on both sides, okay? So get on the other side over there too, because God's going to work both sides of this altar today. Church, you ready? Do this right here. We're at the altar. Come on, we're in the Holy Ghost moment. You ready? Hold on. Just do this. You don't even have to know the name. Praying for you. Y'all try that. Just go praying for you. Try it. You're not going to have electricity come out and knock anybody down. Just try it. Well, if you do, then that's pretty cool. Okay, watch this. Praying for you. All right, let's come. Let's worship together. Come on. If you don't know Him, He wants to know you right now. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open. It's open. Come on, church. Come on.